I went to Outback Blues, as I said, Saturday after we went to Shady Maple. And, you know, my son just absolutely went berserk in that place. Loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it. Anyway, he really wanted this, like, John Deere combine harvester and this chicken, this little rooster. He was, like, obsessed with this, the harvester and the rooster. So, you know, we the store's closing down, and we get it for him. Then we go outside to put him on the tractor out front and get a few pictures. And I'm holding, like, everything. Like a good dad, I got it. I got it all, like, you know, everything's in my arms, including now this combine harvester and this rooster. Well, right by this tractor is a giant grate that goes down.
Like a sewer drain.
Sewer drain, yeah, right. But a giant grate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, lo and behold, what falls out of my arms? But the chicken.
Oh, no.
Like, it's not even like a grate in which you can, like, stick something down and get, like, it's
gone.
It's like going down. You know, we're talking about like Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom,
Snake Pit.
Yes, yeah. Pit. You know, come bumpy by, come bumpy by. How about Short Round though? Win an Oscar. Holy smokes.
Yeah, seriously.
So I'm like, ah, obscenity. My wife's like, what's going on? I'm like, I dropped the rooster. So the store closed at noon. I look at my watch.
Noon?
Yeah, noon. Look at my watch, 12:05.
Man.
Run back inside. Thankfully, it was open. Still a couple people checking out. Grab another rooster, go to check out. I said to the lady, I dropped this down the drain outside. And she was like, no charge. I'm like, I can't do that. I can't take something because of my own stupidity. And I was like, I'll pay for it again. And she's like, okay. But the one that he picked out, that he spent so much time deciding between all of the roosters, went down the drain. He didn't even know I dropped it. I came back outside with another rooster. Had no idea. He had no clue. He spent all of this time discerning between the roosters. Welcome to another episode of Generally Assembled, your favorite House Republican podcast. I'm Jason Gottesman, joined by Mike Straub. Representative Jesse Topper is on assignment this week. You know, Mike, when you were on assignment yourself, we pumped out 2 episodes in 1 week.
You guys are great. I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
I hate to think that I was the, you know, anchor slowing you guys down, but I'm not surprised that you guys would crank out such quality content.
Just quality content. it was quantity content. Quality content is in the eye of the beholder. We'll leave that out to the population here, but, you know, let's see. What's been happening? I'm trying to think. Mike Szabo resigned,
yeah.
Yeah. Too many people couldn't come soon enough, especially.
Well, only effective now. We are recording this on Thursday, the 16th.
Yeah,
only effective as of this morning.
Two hours ago. Yeah, and as we speak, believe it or not, the House Ethics Committee is finally meeting 2 hours after Mike Szabo's resignation became effective. Who'd have thought it? Who'd have thunk it? Who'd have thunk it?
4 to 5 years since his allegations were first made known to his leadership team.
Yeah, they knew about this. They knew about it, and the guy was still groping women out in Harrisburg as of January 3rd.
Yeah, 2023, to be clear. As reported, this is not something that we were made aware of this by reporting in a Philadelphia-based publication.
The Philadelphia Inquirer, yep.
Right, that he was active in his usual ways as of swearing-in day.
No laughing matter. You know, we've had members of our one member of our caucus come forward and put their name to being a victim of Representative Szabo. Other members of the Harrisburg community here, lobbyists and politicals out there also putting their name to this. It's, you know, it takes a lot, especially in the power dynamics here of Harrisburg, to speak out against, you know, elected officials who are doing really these awful things in using their office in such an inappropriate way. You know, but I think the real shocker here, only because we've known about these allegations from Representative Szabo now for a few weeks officially, and then when Andy Perez talked about this at speakers, Rozzi's listening to her back in January, this is, you know, more generally, but we've sort of known about this for a little while now, so that's been able to settle in. So the surprising fact isn't that he resigned, but it's the Democrat leadership knew about this for years and didn't call on him to resign, didn't seek any remedial action on his behalf more recently, and became aware of the rumors and basically have been lying to the press and to the public about the extent of their knowledge. And they are now part and parcel of the allowance of Representatives able to keep victimizing people since they knew about these allegations and let them run wild.
Well, not to mention the campaign arm of how these
candidates and members go about their business and being reelected. There is a process, and part of the political machine is the folks who work outside of the building where we work and outside of the machine where we work that help these folks get reelected. That means that these guys and women receive quite a bit of support financially from outside groups and fundraising on their behalf to stay in positions to be able to run again. So that means there were people who knew about this, who had no problem going around the state and around the country asking for people to make donations on behalf of then Representative Szabel, knowing full well that these allegations followed him around repeatedly, that this was not just a one-time incident that maybe somebody's story got turned against him. There were multiple people over multiple years, as someone reported, the worst-kept secret in Harrisburg. And so to think that folks on the campaign side of this and on the elected leadership side of this were more than happy to pretend it wasn't that big a deal, or, you know, I don't want to give an idea of why they didn't take any action or even mention it to anyone. But that's something that people should have to answer for beyond just the representative himself, who has now resigned.
I think that's very well put. Let's talk about some other stuff that's been going on here. Governor Josh Shapiro outlined his first budget address. We talked about this last week with Representative Topper. But, you know, now that we've had some time to really dig deeper into this proposal, it's kind of dangerous for Pennsylvanians. And this Democrat proposal would force the Commonwealth and the governor to have to raise taxes in just a few short years. It will completely decimate our surplus and rainy day fund. You know, it will sick a army of labor law compliance officers on the local business and mom and pop shops to check for technical violations of the labor law. So instead of getting government out of the way, Governor Shapiro will be raising taxes, increasing government intrusion into the lives of Pennsylvanians, and making it more difficult for, you know, families to make ends meet because of things like RGGI and raising the cost of energy. Doesn't sound like a very good proposal.
I mean, the cost of energy, anybody who paid their electric bill in the month of January in the state of Pennsylvania knows just what a slippery slope we're suddenly on there. So to discuss anything that might make those prices go up any more than they already have puts you on a path of just outright danger. And then more than that, the financial issues that face states and not federal governments never quite, I think for a lot of people at home, they kind of go, it'll work itself out. I don't want to get myself too worried about that. But if you have to be under a rock for the last couple of weeks to not notice some major wrinkles in the banking systems in this country and now in other parts of the world. So when you're talking about financial security of a commonwealth at a time when banks are suddenly closing, just you're not paying attention. You're just not
just closing, collapsing. Banks are collapsing. And, this Joe Biden, Joanna McClinton economy that we're in is awful right now. And it's only getting worse. The cost of energy on Pennsylvania's families are increasing, which is causing the cost of goods to go up, making it more difficult for people to afford even basic transportation to get to work. You talk about things like the social determinants of health. When you can't afford to put gas in your car, you can't afford to go to work. When you can't afford to go to work, you can't afford to have child care. When you can't afford child care, you can't get to work because you need to stay at home, take care of your kids. So then what do? You then look to the government for more benefits, entitlements, and ways to make ends meet, all because Democrats have made it too costly for you to find work and do work and make ends meet at home. House Republicans, we want to be working for the people of Pennsylvania to make sure that we're doing exactly what they expect, which is making our economy better, making the cost of living lower, creating safe and vibrant neighborhoods and communities, ensuring that we have the best educational system entirely possible in a way that reflects the individual strengths and attributes of each student and empowers families.
Yeah, we want to make those institutions stronger today. We want to make them stronger into the future. We don't want to set them on a path where every year when we get to the budget, we're going, is this the year that we have to close them all? Is this the year that we have to say goodbye to these things that folks have come to rely on, the schools, your neighborhood, the programs that do so much to help people? And when you talk about the work that's been done bipartisanly to create these rainy day reserves, to give them all away in one year.
Done by Republicans and Democrats together. And, you know, Governor Shapiro comes in and House Democrats take power, and they're literally flipping over the surplus and rainy day fund table and saying, we want to get rid of this thing.
Yeah, all at once.
All at once. That's exactly right. All right. Well, Mike, I think that's all we got for this week. Budget hearings start next week. You know, if you haven't out there in the world checked out Seth Groves' House Republican budget presentation from yesterday, highly recommend it. Really shows where we're at with this budget and what we expect from budget hearings. Looking for ways in which agencies are going to be saving money, not how they want to be spending money. So that's going to be what we're taking away from these budget hearings. But, you know, hey, we'll check in at some point next week. I'm sure Grove Unleashed will be talking about these in great detail, even though we don't recommend listening to off-brand podcasts. We'll make an exception for the appropriations chairman during what's essentially the conference championships of budget season.
March Madness.
Yeah, March Madness
of
budget season.
Its own version of March Madness.
All right, very good. That's all right. It only happens every once for every 4 years. So generally assembled for this week. For I'm Jason Gottesman, for Mike Straub, and Representative Jesse Topper, who remains on assignment. That's the podcast for this week. You can find this podcast where all of your favorite House Republican podcasts are found, www.pahousegop.com/mypodcasts. If you're listening to us on, like, the regular internet, you can find us on your favorite podcast provider as well.